Just recently, the Israeli army have invented a new missile defense system. You may have heard about it on the news. You may have read about it. Now, we preached some time ago about the Iron Dome system that the Israelis have to protect their people. They've got a new system now. Do you know what it's called? David's Sling. David's Sling. We're going to read about David's Sling today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in the scrip. Now here's the sling. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. We have already read today about David's sling, David's sling. And whenever I read that news item about the new missile system in Israel that's called David's sling, I began to think about the story of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. We all know the story. And it's a story that we never get tired of hearing. Recently, to do with the Asher's Bakery, someone said that that situation is like David and Goliath. The Equality Commission, with all their finances and taxpayers' money behind them, they're Goliath. And Little Asher's Bakery, a family-run bakery, they're David. I hope that you're still praying for the bakery. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's continue to pray that God will answer prayer, that right will prevail, that common sense will prevail, that the bakery will be vindicated. But it's David against Goliath. But as we have read 1 Samuel 17 today and the story of how David brought down Goliath with the sling, let's be encouraged today that God can do the same for the Asher's Bakery. And God can do the same for other believers in other situations. You've heard, I'm sure, of the printer from Portadown, the young man who runs that printing business. He was asked to print a filthy homosexual magazine, and quite rightly he declined it. And you've maybe heard of the printers down south, those believers who were asked to print the wedding invitations for the civil partnership. And again, quite rightly, they said, no, God is able to answer prayer. God can still bring down the Goliaths. But I want us to think today about what David put inside his sling. What did he put inside the sling? A stone. And David put the stone inside the sling. Of course, we know what happened. He slung the stone and it hit Goliath in exactly the place that it needed to hit him, right in the forehead, sunk into his forehead, and Goliath was brought down dead. But here's a question I want to ask you today. Did you ever wonder, why did David pick five stones? He only needed one. Why did David choose, the Bible says, we have read it today, he chose five smooth stones. Do you ever wonder, maybe you don't ask questions like that. I'm the type of person, I'm curious. I ask questions like that. Why did you choose five stones when you only needed one? Why? I believe there's a very, very logical reason why David chose five stones. David didn't just say, oh, there's a few stones, I'll just pick up a few stones, throws them in the bag, away he goes. No, I believe there's a reason. There were four sons of Goliath. Goliath, we've read about it, 2 Samuel 21. Goliath had four sons who were also giants. Now, my maths is not great, but even I can add that up. Goliath plus four, five. Five stones. I believe David's thinking was, well, if Goliath's sons enter into the battle, I'm going to need five stones for these boys. And David was prepared. Five stones, one stone for Goliath. And four stones for his sons. David was ready for the giant. David was ready for the giants, for all five of them. Do you know, we as believers, we have to face giants. And I began to think about that last night. We were up in Dungannon at the Haven youth meeting. And I began to think just whenever I came home last night and even this morning, I was thinking about the giants that Christians face. Let me share five of those giants with you today. First of all, there's the giant of despair. Despair. Those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, you know that there's a giant mentioned. He's called Giant Despair. He lives in Doubting Castle. Despair. And of course, Christian and his companion, they get careless and they fall asleep. And then Giant Despair, he comes, he brings them to Doubting Castle, he locks them up. And still today, as Christians, there are times when we face the giant of despair. Despair. I wonder, are you down in despair today? Child of God, are you in despair about some situation in your life? Are you despairing today because of your circumstances? It's maybe something I know nothing about, and maybe I don't need to know anything about it. Only the Lord needs to know about it, but you're despairing today. You are facing this great giant, and my, he's like Goliath and his sons. He towers above you. Well, I want to bring a message of encouragement to you today. What happened to Goliath? He came down, he fell. The Lord brought him down. Do you know what's going to happen to your giant today? Yeah. The Lord's going to bring him down. I know now that he's intimidating to you, and that situation in your life is discouraging you, and you can't see any way around it. And it's just as if that giant is staring at you today, and he's laughing in your face. I have you now. You're finished. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. No matter how long you have faced the giant of despair, remember someday he's coming down. Oh, despair is a giant. Let me mention another giant, peer pressure. Peer pressure. As believers, we are told in God's word not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Child of God, remember that you're a citizen of heaven. Though you live on the earth, you're not a citizen of this earth in the sense that one day you're going to leave this earth. You're just passing through this world, and your citizenship, as Paul said, is in heaven. So you've got to be transformed. You've got to have the mindset of heaven. Don't be squeezed into the mold of the world. I don't know whether I've mentioned it before. I may have mentioned it. But do you know out in Japan you can get square watermelons? Square watermelons. Don't know whether you like watermelons. I like them. Partial to a piece of watermelon. But have you ever seen a square watermelon? I've never seen them in our country. But apparently in Japan you can get these square watermelons. Well, how on earth do you grow square watermelons? Well, apparently whenever the little watermelon is beginning to grow, the farmer, he puts a square box around that little watermelon. And as it grows, that box shapes the watermelon. The watermelon, though naturally it would be round and oval shaped, it ends up square because the mold around it is square and the watermelon is squeezed into the square mold. You know, as believers, that's what the world wants to do with you and me. But don't let it. Now, you'll need backbone. You'll need courage, as they say. The word that some people use, you'll need guts to be a good Christian, to be strong. You'll need guts. Oh, Christianity is not, so much Christianity today is namby-pamby, isn't it? Oh, these mega churches with their namby-pamby songs, they're worshipping the Lord with inside the four walls of the church. But you ask them to go outside, stand at a gay pride protest, you'll not see them for dust. You ask them to stand in open air in a street corner, you'll not see them for dust. You ask them to take a stand against the culture of the day, the satanic, sinful culture, and you'll not see them. They'll be nowhere to be found. It's namby-pamby, airy-fairy Christianity. Well, that's not the kind of Christianity that I read about in the Bible. I read that as believers we're to be soldiers. My, that day David faced Goliath, he was a good soldier. He had courage, he had backbone, he had guts. That's what the Lord needs today. That's what the Lord's looking for. Again, to go back to what John Hayes said at the welcome service in Irvinstown a few weeks ago, and I haven't forgotten it. It struck me. The Lord doesn't call cards. The Lord doesn't use cards. My, the Lord needs courageous people. People who are prepared to stand up against peer pressure. Salmon are an amazing creature. Sometimes I sit down at night to watch maybe one of those wildlife programs on the television, and sometimes you see the salmon, and you see them coming up, and they're going against the flow, and they're jumping upstream. Isn't it amazing? And of course the bears are waiting for them. But the salmon, they're swimming against the tide, and you see them and they're jumping out, and it's amazing how they can jump up and get up the rocky river, swimming against the flow. You know, child of God, you need to be like a salmon. You need to be a spiritual salmon. I need to be a spiritual salmon. We need to be prepared to go against the tide. We need to be prepared to go against the peer pressure. It's a giant. We've got to face the giant of peer pressure. The culture all around us that says, just do what's right in your own eyes. Forget about this book. That's old-fashioned. That's old hat from the dark ages. Leave this book aside. That's what the world says today, but may the Lord make us bold and courageous. The Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Yeah, we're to be like the salmon, we're to be like the lions, bold and courageous for the Lord. We face the giant of despair, the giant of peer pressure. But let me turn more to national and global issues now for a moment. Surely we're facing the giant of Islam today. In our nation, in our world, are we not facing the Goliath of Islam today? There's a lot of Christians who are half asleep. They haven't even caught on that this giant is hollering out his threats today, and he's defying the living God today in our nation. Sad to say, in Great Britain today, you have churches that are being turned into mosques, cathedrals that are closing, churches that are closing, and they're being taken over and they're becoming mosques. How sad. But it's because there's a giant in the land, and the name of the giant is Islam. I think some people today have their heads buried in the sand. They're like the ostrich and say that Islam's the religion of peace. Oh, every time an atrocity is committed, like the atrocity in Kenya a few weeks ago. You do know, by the way, what happened, that those murderers who went into the college to murder the Christians, they laughed as they did it. Those Islamic terrorists. Who's a Christian? Me. I will take a bullet for King Jesus. That's what happened. I said it last Sunday night. They separated the Christians from the Muslims. Okay, Muslims, you're free to go. Christians, bang. Religion of peace? Oh, but this is radical Islam. These are extremists. These are people who have been radicalized. That's what you hear in the news today, isn't it? No, the truth of it is, I want to make it clear today and put it on record. If you follow the Quran, you will do exactly what those murderers did in Kenya a few weeks ago. Do you know, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Do you know the reason why there are moderate Muslims today in our nation? Because they don't really follow the Quran. But if you follow it, the holy book of Islam, if you follow it, you will kill the infidels. It speaks, of course, in the Quran about killing Jews. There's a passage in the Quran, there's a voice that says, "Oh, Muslim, come, here's a Jew behind the rock, come and kill him." That's just the tip of the iceberg. We face the giant of Islam. And he's just like Goliath today because he's threatening, isn't he? You do what we say or we will have another 7-7. We'll put bombs in the underground in London. We'll put bombs on the airplanes. You do what we say or else. Boy, that reminds me of Goliath shouting across the valley at Israel. Shouting at David, disdaining David, mocking David, threatening David. But hallelujah, the giant's coming down someday. Jesus will come back again and the giant of Islam will fall. You know, John Bunyan, we've already referred to him today. John Bunyan spoke of two other giants. Let me just mention them as we finish today. In Pilgrim's Progress, there's not only the giant of despair, but we read of two other giants, Pagan and Pope. Pagan and Pope. Let me mention Pagan first of all. We're living in a pagan society today. The giant of paganism is all around. We mentioned some weeks ago about the temple up at the top of the hill. Gog and Magog, that temple that was erected. Apart from anything else, what a waste of money. To build this wooden structure and then to burn it down, like you couldn't make it up. It's so nonsensical. And then there's people who are waiting for life-saving operations in hospitals, and this is what we're doing. And this wooden structure was put up, and oh, bring your wee messages and all your, bring your problems to this wooden temple, and then we'll just burn it all down, and everything will be hunky-dory and the rosy. All the problems will be solved. Well, such darkness, paganism. Thank God today we don't bring our burdens and our problems to a wooden temple. We bring our burdens and our problems to the temple who lived 2,000 years ago. For 33 and a half years, God's temple walked this earth, Jesus Christ, and He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And He did. And He's alive. And that's where we bring our sins, first of all, and that's where we bring our problems. Oh, the paganism all around us today. Sure, we haven't even mentioned Halloween, the annual carnival in the city. Paganism. We could talk about Stonehenge in England today, those stones. Paganism. We could talk today about how people, years ago, they used to worship the god Bacchus. He was the god of alcohol. The god of intoxicating drink. But tell me this, do people worship him today still? Of course they do. There were yesterday, there were people who went into the off license. They worshiped Bacchus, paganism. There were people who went to the pub last night. They worshipped the god of paganism, Bacchus. They're still doing it. It's paganism. And that god or that giant that John Bunyan spoke about, he's still around today. Aphrodite. You know, there were people years ago who worshipped the god or the goddess Aphrodite. Sexual immorality. Tell me this, do we not live in an awfully, terribly immoral age where anything goes? Some of the things that you hear today, some of the things that are happening today, it would make your blood freeze. It would make your hair stand on end to think of the depravity that's around us today. And we, let's face it, we don't even know the half of it. Sometimes we're inside our wee bubble and we don't have any clue what's really going on. But oh, the gods of paganism are being worshipped today still. Thank God someday they're coming down. The giant is coming down. Let me finish. Pope. That was another giant that John Bunyan mentioned. Pope. Popery. The Roman Catholic Church, my, what a giant it has been down through the years. What a destructive, cruel giant it has been, responsible for shedding the innocent blood of believers during the Middle Ages, during the Reformation. You heard me say before of William Tyndale, who translated the Bible into the New Testament into English, and the Roman Catholic Church burnt him at the stake, and to add injury to insult, they hung a Bible round his neck before they burnt him. The Pope, this great giant. Romanism. But thank God someday it's coming down. Someday the Lord Jesus Christ will bring down this false system that has damned souls and is damning souls to this very day. This giant will also fall. The Pope. But you know, it was Martin Luther, I think, who said that the greatest and the worst Pope is self. Myself. Yourself. Because by nature we put self on the throne, and self is the Pope of our lives, we could say. Self is the one who's worshipped. Self comes first. And God comes last. I wonder this morning, do we put the Lord first? Or is self on the throne of our lives? Oh, that the Lord would help us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So we've talked about the giants. David chose five smooth stones because he knew that there were five giants that he could possibly have to face. We have thought about five giants today that we must face. Tell me this, do you know how the giants will come down? How will these giants, how will other giants that we could have talked about today, how are they going to come down? Well, let me put it like this. Here's the sling. This book is our sling, as it were. This is David's sling, the Word of God, the Bible. What did he put into the sling? What did David put in the sling? He put a stone. Do you know that in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the stone? The stone. And you know how all the giants that are arrayed against God today and arrayed against you and me, do you know how they're going to come down? Because of the stone. The stone. Daniel chapter 2 speaks about the stone that will bring down the idol. And someday Jesus will bring down the giants. Oh, what a day that will be. That's a day that we should pray for. John said in Revelation 22, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Hymn number 274, 274.